Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
That's right. It's time for political commentary. Nice and early this morning here on 95 BFM Breakfast, and we've got Lara Greaves on the line. Morena, Lara.
Morena.
How are you this morning?
Oh, great. I did have a late flight back from Wellington. Of course, we had a lot of delays due to the wind.
So, of course.
Good work waking me up a bit more there.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us, despite the trying circumstances.
Oh, no problems. I mean, I feel like everyone's kind of facing something.
Yeah, exactly.
Life generally, but definitely today.
It's one of those weeks, one of those days. There's a lot happening in politics at the moment. I feel like the logical place to start is probably this mega strike that's about to happen today. Yeah, lots of people affected, lots of people striking, and a pretty aggressive sort of response from the government, would you say?
Yeah, an interesting, just looking at a news article with Sir Brian Walsh, the Public Service Commissioner, an interesting response from them as well, of course running some ads, some kind of anti-strike ads, which is a bit unusual and not really something that we're kind of used to. Also, I was listening this morning to Erica Stanford express her sentiments as Minister, and it's a hard balance for governments to strike at any given moment, but, you know, like between being, you know, it's hard for a national government as well. Labour, they can kind of be like, oh, yeah, we're supportive, but no. But this, for national, it's like you kind of don't want to be too harsh, but you kind of do have to kind of tell them off a bit because you're kind of in this kind of senior oversight position, especially as something like the Public Service Commissioner. So you need to have this, like, strike this balance. And I think at the moment they're coming out a little bit negative. A little bit on the anti side, you know, like relative to what I've seen in previous years with, you know, under, say, the John Key government. But yeah, it's hard balance to strike for a right wing government and left wing, and for that matter as well.
Yeah, I guess anyone in power is sort of struck with a difficult position to be in. We're expecting quite huge numbers of strikes across the Motu today. Do you think it's going to have a strong impact on pay discussions moving forward?
Well, you know, for a lot of the country, we've got these ridiculously high winds. Totally, you know, like, I mean, surely we have to start talking about climate change again when, like, a whole chunk of our country is crippled by record high winds. But sure, big chunks of the country won't be able to go out and strike in March. You know, Wellington loves a good strike, a good march, but it's just too windy. You literally turn the corner and you can't walk any further. It's like that windy.
God.
So,
wow.
You know, people are going to have to stay in for their safety, aren't they? So it's feeling a little bit like COVID lockdown-esque, you know, staying at home with the kids inside. Mm. You know, it's going to be a lot of people's reality today, but in Auckland people will get out and strike, I'm sure, and with their signs and their kids, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, it's just that general kind of, like, we've seen this time and time again across the last Labor government, now in the National government, where, like, teachers, doctors and a lot of workers aren't paid well, if you compare, especially to Australia, which is easy to compare to because they're just there. And people, the cost of living, it's hard. People's wages aren't keeping up with it. I mean, you can kind of expect them to do everything they can to try to get a fair deal out of that when you see inflation going up and, you know, the net inflation masks, you know, food prices are a lot greater than that, and we all have to freaking buy food. So, you know, you can see why people are pissed off, and I think a lot of people probably do have sympathy, although, yeah, everyone's got to figure out what to do with their kids today, and, I don't know, mine's seven, so it's not that hard. You just chuck them in front of an iPad, but I've got childcare. But for a lot of people, it's quite an inconvenience, especially, you know, for a lot of the people who are actually in jobs working, like, regular 9-to-5s, you know, who have more than just the one child they can chuck in front of an iPad. It is a bit of an inconvenience. But, yeah, I imagine at this stage there's probably still relatively good sentiment towards striking workers, if I had to guess.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting. It's sort of a watch this space sort of day, isn't it, to see how it all unfolds and what the responses come out as.
And how National deals with it as well. Do they look too strict? Do they look too out of touch? That's really the big thing. Do they look like they don't have enough sympathy? Because that's the balance they need to strike at the moment.
I'll be interested to see how their response is kind of in the media appears tomorrow. Yeah.
We should touch on Labor's Future Fund, which was announced this week. Could you give us like a crash course for dummies of what the policy is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a bit tricky because it's like an 11-page document, and I mean, there's like a big photo, a big smiling photo of Fitkins on one of the pages. So basically, And Max Rashbrook's got a way better explainer than anything I could do on the spin-off. Classic Max Rashbrook. But basically, there's this idea that they'll put some assets into this sort of shareholder-y thing. So they'll put some money in there, as often 200 million or so, will be sitting in this kind of asset base. And then the government can invest in things that would create jobs in New Zealand. So there's already a suggestion that maybe we whack the power companies in there. When the power companies make a dividend, that dividend goes to invest in different things. We see government do this at the moment through this like a venture capital fund, because Kiwi tech startups have said that it's really hard to seek funding offshore. So the government's already doing this sort of thing through venture capitalism and investing in, you know, the next generation of potential tech winners. Mm. And so that's the idea that like anything that we do, it's very kind of sovereign. It's very New Zealand. It's very single state here. We've seen people like Wayne Brown suggest a similar like Auckland Future Fund to keep assets in Auckland and make money off of them. And New Zealand First are kind of joking that, you know, it's stealing their idea, but it is a very like kind of like left wing but like financially conservative, protecting our borders kind of idea, where it's like, but let's build our assets. It's very Muldoon-esque. It's very kind of 70s retro, let's keep all the things here sort of idea.
So quite a safe policy for Labour to launch first, do you think?
It makes a lot of sense, honestly. Yeah. And it's showing that they're trying to be, firstly, it's showing that like they've got ideas. So one of the big criticisms of National has been like, what is the plan? Like, what is your overall plan for the country?
Yeah.
So they're trying to kind of counter that idea, saying, oh, okay, Labour's going to, you know, release these policies. At some point, there'll be a tax one, but this is the first kind of one, and we're about a year out from the election. So it makes sense, and maybe we will have a more policy-heavy election. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of main thing that Labor's doing here, is trying to make it look like, hey, here's our policies, we've got policies, we've got a vision for New Zealand, we're starting to articulate it, here we go. It makes a lot of sense for them to do these sorts of policies.
Mm.
And then also, it's another thing where they've been criticised a lot around the whole identity politics debate, or like, what is it, like what Winston Peters would call woke, you know, like to try to distance themselves a little bit away from anything to do with, people's identities and needs different communities and that sort of thing. So to try to go more middle of the road, economic left, especially given that many people are saying that the economy, cost of living, is their biggest policy issue.
It's sort of, it's funny because I feel like everyone gives Labour so much crap for not having any policy, and it's sort of like they've announced this first policy and they're like, you want policy? Here you go. Here's an 11-page document for our first one.
One page is a photo, and I love
what you
that.
Wish for.
When you've got to meet the kind of page requirements for a policy document.
So you've got to like flesh your essay out with a bunch of filler words.
I do wonder if it's a policy-heavy election. I hope people don't go around willy-nilly kind of just throwing out policies. Yeah.
I mean, it's good to actually have the policies to talk about.
Yeah, that's
true. One of the things that the big shock of people was with the coalition agreement were a bunch of things that weren't talked about suddenly becoming policy. And even now, like, there's that stuff around pharmacies that wasn't in anyone's agenda, and now suddenly it's looking like it's government policy. They're going to do something about deregulating pharmacies. And the other thing was last time around, Labor said, well, we didn't campaign on a capital gains tax or tax reform, so therefore we're not going to do it. So, you know, like, it is, there's this weird thing for political parties where they kind of want to put the idea out, seek the mandate. So it's all of these disagreements and kind of critiques have been aired before they get elected, before they put the thing into play.
That's
kind of what they're doing. It's how it's meant to work, hypothetically.
Yeah, right. It's kind of ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are running out of time, but I want to briefly touch on Te Pāti Māori. It's been a huge sort of discourse across media, and it seems as though people are almost a little bit split between, you know, are we focusing too much on Te Pāti Māori, and is it a great excuse for the government to sort of tear apart the opposition, or is it really truly a shambles?
Well, it is a bit of a saga. The big thing for me that I'm watching is to see who splits off and what happens, because at the moment, like, political parties have their fights. Like, that's just what happens. It's happened going back to the 90s. The characteristic of MMP, when a party grows, there's growing pains, there's problems. Te Pāti Māori have said that as well and acknowledged that. So, I mean, that's just kind of what happened. So we'll see whether anyone does split off and forms a splinter party, because we saw that with Hone Hadawera and the Mana Party. I can't remember what year that was even, but it was over a decade ago where he just could not be in government with National. He wanted to kind of represent kids in poverty in particular, was his kind of core kaupapa. So he split off, and that's kind of what we could see happen, especially if someone has a Māori seat. They think, oh, okay, I want to split off and form my own party. The electorate wants me to, and then, you know, obviously there's a by-election or there's the next general election, and they kind of see whether actually the people did want them to. But that's the main thing that I'm watching for, is whether, you know, what we call a splinter party kind of splinters off Te Pāti Māori. But we'll see. That it's thing after thing after thing at the moment. So yeah. We'll see. They haven't managed to keep it out of the media, which is also something that political parties need to be able to do, is kind of pull everyone in line and say, you're just hurting the overall goal here. But people seem to be hurt by one another, and that's how they act, eh?
Yeah, it's very layered and complicated, and it just seems to be causing a lot of uncertainty going into an election year as to what would potentially happen with a coalition. So I guess it's another just wait and see how it all plays out.
It sure is. I mean, we kind of need top. This is like such a weird thing for me to be saying, but we need a centre party that's sitting there in the middle, because at the moment Labor doesn't have options. It doesn't have options. It's got to get to 50%. So there's no method unless they somehow win back Winston Peters, which is just not going to happen. No. Or no one's going to win ACT over. Like, it's not going to happen. Yeah. So you kind of go, maybe Labor and National get together, this idea of this grand coalition that comes up every 2 years, 3 years. But, you know, there's no options. They need there needs to be some kind of centre party. Otherwise, when in this rule in, rule out game of like, oh, it's got to be this block of the left. It's just the way the system's structured, and it's not ideal. But that's what we're in this week.
It is what it is.
Spiral. Yeah.
Well, it could be on its way, your centre party. Who knows?
Maybe. We just kind of need to, one of the things that we need to do as part of the Independent Electoral Law Review, we suggested lowering the MMP threshold 3.5%. Maybe we go to 4%, because it's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that you need to get at the moment to vote for you to get over the threshold. And so that's one suggestion, is that you lower the threshold, you end up with more parties in Parliament. It could mean that you end up with extreme right. It could mean that you end up with extreme left. It could mean you end up with more centre parties. We could get a Christian party. Who knows? We could get all sorts of things. So the counter of that is, and when the major parties are going for a coalition agreement, they have more options. So no one can like go, you have to work with us, and then we get out of this like, oh, rule in, rule out, kind of mess that we're in. So, yeah.
Fascinating. Well, thank you so much, Lara. For spelling it all out for us. Very, very helpful. And we're excited to catch up next week to debrief everything else that has happened.
Yeah, hopefully Te Pāti Māori have held themselves together.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully no one's been blown away in the strikes. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, exactly.
Stay safe in the wind, everyone.
Exactly.
Thank you, Lara.
Thank you, Lara.
Bye.
Kia ora.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.